Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Can I ask you a question, Shannon? Is there a way that you could assist me in getting your, let's say for till the end of the year, assuring that Oscar would
calendar
never be
tardy. Calendar year 2019?
Calendar Wait. Year 2019 would never be tardy for work.
But I don't have to shave my head if he's late, do I?
No, you don't. No, you
no, no, no.
Okay.
But I'll shave mine.
No, you don't.
What do you think the number one roadkill is up where we live?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I would say senior citizens.
No, the old people are not killed that
I'm gonna
with the
say beavers.
Same regularity as this. Item.
Beavers.
What?
Beavers.
Not beavers, no.
Is it rats?
No.
Possum.
No, close.
Ooh,
getting
okay.
warmer.
Raccoon.
Getting warmer.
Do they have a pouch for babies?
No.
So the kangaroo is off the table.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
My level of detoxification.
Yes.
I think right now, and I don't want to overstate it, but I'm going to overstate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think my level of detoxification after this particular weekend would rival that of someone going into a methadone clinic. Only the heroin is food.
Yes.
And and just deal. And I hopped on the scale this morning and
nice hopping.
And was just devastated. It was I mean, I knew it was coming. But it's just devastating.
It's what
and,
the Canadians do, man. They treated you bad. Their food was probably poisoned.
The Canadians real are all the Canadians in Montreal, Canada, are fit as a fiddle. They are young. It was
well,
such
sure
a,
they
like
treat
any
themselves
city.
Well.
Mike, also yes. Montreal is known for fantastic adult, you know, bars,
entertainment.
Yes,
there was one place that was on the route. And I think it was called Film L'Amour. L'Amour. Film of Love.
Oh, yes.
And then you see the posters down in the window, and it says F, 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 F. So there's a lot of that. But we didn't, of course, being, you know, couples, we didn't have time to do the deep erotic dive
that
we always do with the Colburns.
Next time for sure. Like when you went with them to Hamburg and went to all the sex clubs?
Yeah, when we went to Amsterdam and visited the brothels of Amsterdam. I am telling you that this morning, and this is where my wife knows how to motivate me, because there's getting back on the stick, getting back on the healthy eating train, and then there's doing it with gusto, and the only way for me to do that is for me to get the vital statistics.
Okay.
And I stepped on the scale today and looked down, and I just went and I realized that my body is not only unhealthy right now due to the way I ate, but it's not just eating badly. It's what that food does to you. I've eaten badly and felt fine.
Yeah.
And then I've eaten badly where you could take a hypodermic needle, put it in my right arm right now, and you would have beef gravy come out.
Mm.
That's what would happen with it. It is so it was and but at the same time, I can't look back and go, "Oh my God, that's horrible." What it was phenomenal Canadian food topped off with bad food that we could also get in America. So
okay.
So the breakfast I had, the 44,000 calorie breakfast,
most
that
important
I had
meal of the day
on our way out, which I will get to later in the show because it deserves its entire segment.
Okay,
it truly does. I had, and Carla was almost annoyed at me because I went on and on and on. This is the last moment of food happiness. It's all behind me now because God knows how long it's going to last, but I'm not going to have a food weekend like that in a very long time from now. Not sure how long before, right. But it's not going to. But I will tell you this, it was enough. It was enough. And what I didn't need to do was top it off with that Tim Hortons joint where we said, well, we should have something sweet too. And Carla was with me. Charlotte was with me too, but that's what did it. That's when my stomach just decided to say, you know, hey, we have a major announcement. Yes, yes, he is going to eat badly. And it was horrible.
This
was
fantastic breakfast. Horrible. That was a north of the border breakfast.
It was a north of the border breakfast.
I can't wait to hear
about
it.
How much damage could 1 weekend do that you come back with this resolution of sorts?
I think that the weekend was bad, but I will. And also 12,000 steps yesterday. So
that's good.
I mean, on Saturday, 12,000 steps, which was walking, you know, to everywhere and walking throughout the city. And that for me, because I'll do some cycling, but I don't do a lot of steps. Hmm. That was a lot of steps for me.
Mike, it's not
meaningless.
It's not a one for one for calorie intake
No, not at all. In fact, it's not even. No, it's ridiculous. But
sure would make the math easier.
Oscar, the only point I'm trying to make is at least there was something there.
Okay,
that was not, you know, if that had been sedentary, I would have been returned to the United States in an ambulance. That's the way it would have been.
Mike is here, and he's in a bag.
It was spectacular, but on top of it, it was just that one moment. And then I am in, you know, I walked about 2 miles this morning before the show, mm-hmm. and I am in a state of still detox. Where yeah. At one point, I sat down at the kitchen table with my head in my hands, just going. And Carlos, you know, activewear says to me, "What's wrong?" I said, "What do you think's wrong? What do you think's wrong? Look at me."
You can say, like, Mike, what Jiminy Glick says. He says, "My health is not great. I'm on a urine softener." Maybe that's what you need.
A urine softener.
I had never heard that.
But you know what? I have to say, if we hadn't, so it's the extras that do you in. It's the last drink that does you in.
Sure.
It's the extra food that you don't need at all that
chips.
Does you in. You know, it's the crap that does you in. But it doesn't take away from some of the experiences where if we had just had a regular dinner, I'm not going to say we, okay? Get me out of that habit. If I had just had a regular
Mike, you
dinner,
were speaking French all weekend. We is fine.
Oh, I love it. I can't even describe how much I love this weekend. I cannot possibly describe how wonderful it was. I mean, with these people who I gush about all the time because they're just so cool. I think I said like an old Manny thing when I was getting into the car, because they're closer than we are to Montreal. So we left them, and I said, "See you later." I said, "You guys are good for the soul." That sounds so nerdy. But it's the truth.
It's sweet.
It's true. It makes me feel good about humanity when I'm around them. It really does.
Did they roll their eyes?
Nice people.
They're like, let's get out of here quick.
Jesus.
No, they're not eye rollers, Rob.
Okay,
they don't do that.
I know so, that.
they really, it was fabulous. But that that drive home and then this morning, carrying into this morning, it's just, you know, it's time. And, you know, you got to go for it. I'm not going to do a water diet like my daughter, but it really was what a great town. If you get a chance to go to the city of Montreal, Canada,
ooh.
I tell you, go stop it. I know everybody was saying, "There's no, Rob's not going to like this." I said, "Rob doesn't get out of Leesburg."
Did you try their wings?
Did not try their wings. No, I did not. I didn't have the pleasure.
Hey, this would be better with buffalo sauce.
But for me, and this is the same way I felt when I went to New York and saw Catherine last year, it is essential for me periodically to get to a major city, and that includes Washington, D.C., where I can be away from blue hair for a while.
Yeah.
Because if I stay with there's a reason, by the way, I think I had the epiphany, it finally dawned on me why my sister, who's older than me, and her husband, Paul, moved to Boston. It is like, if you're an old person, this is my advice to you, and I'm not following it.
Right.
Because I'm still living where I live. But I will tell you, if you are confused about what you might want to do, and you have, you got to be kind of like my sister and her brother-in-law. You probably have to have a little means.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to have the means to do it, because not everybody can do this. That's the fact. But if you get an opportunity to move into a metropolitan area, might be a good move, because it's kind of vampire-ish. It's kind of vampire, because when we're walking along the streets of Montreal with young bicycle jogger, I felt like vampire. Mm-hmm. I felt like vampire. I felt like, oh, look at all these young people.
Energy.
Look at the energy of this. Yes. I'm going to feed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to feed off the energy of these young people.
And I felt the same way when I went to see my daughter in New York.
Yeah.
And we went into the East Village where you know, I could actually skew the curve of the average age up to about 20 years just by being there.
You skewed the entire average?
Well, the thing about the old people in cities, this is New York and Montreal, my own personal experience.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see the occasional old person, but the old people that are in these cities appear to have been trapped there.
Yeah.
That they can no longer escape, right? So you'll see 350,000 23-year-olds,
right?
You know, with their French Canadian lack of brassieres, bouncing up and down the sidewalks, and then you'll see a 400-year-old woman, you know, rolling a cart up the street,
selling rocks from a cart.
Weird. I'm filled with sugar still. I can't help myself.
What is it? The economic disparity from the have and have nots.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. But because they're tiny little places there. Yeah. Everybody lives like you do, Oscar. Everybody in Montreal, same way, lives in a tiny little place.
Sure.
And they're fine with it. They're tiny little people.
City dwellers. That's what they do. Very European.
The suburbans are the ones that came up with space that I need. I need a closet to carry my closet around.
Hmm.
You know, that's what they need.
I don't
know
what I do with space. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's craziness, but
it's bananas.
Yeah, but it's for the birds.
It is for the birds.
I said to Shannon, you know, if we have a baby, we're gonna have to literally figure out what we're gonna take out of the house to put a crib in here, right? And not mm-hmm. that we're planning or anything. She just
I don't think you're gonna have a baby if you keep mistreating her like you did this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
With your the first thing out of Oscar's mouth today is that he said to me,
right?
He said to me, Shannon, I taught Shannon that she can't disrespect. Shannon was disrespecting my job today.
Exactly.
That's what she
said. Yes,
I said the first thing I said to Oscar was, well, did she call Carrie? I wasn't sure what was happening. But no, Rob and I commit, it wasn't that kind of disrespect.
No, it wasn't at
where
all.
She
no,
was
no.
verbalizing her disdain.
Yes, no, no, no.
You, this once again was a behavioral thing where... On the surface, before you tell your little story here, and I'm going to allow you to do that you appear to be quite a monster from doing this.
I agree.
So, for those of you at home, before you judge, I would ask you to listen. For some time now with this one-car family that we call the Santanas, mm-hmm. one of the greatest mistakes of my life, but
really also one of the greatest families.
One of the most responsible options to go to one car, a one-car family. This one-car family... With one AC, with one steering wheel, with four passengers, and a seatbelt for the dog, that train either leaves on time in the morning.
The four passengers?
Well, I would say it's Shannon and I, the dog, and our backpacks. As far as seating is concerned. So the dog. Right.
Find his viral video, Mike. It's called One Car Dual Seat Eaters.
Yes. So
right.
The dog is not just, hey, get in the car, dog. It's get in the car. Let's put a seatbelt on, which adds about 3 minutes to the process.
And you need that because you're traveling nearly 900 feet.
Yes. So I said to Shannon.
Up the hill.
I said, Shannon, we got to start leaving.
You have to
here.
Go next door to your job.
Yeah, 6 miles an hour up the hill.
Around the 40 mark. And I've been asking her for some time. And in the past, Mike, I would acquiesce to my wife and say, I'm taking an Uber. I'm going to be late otherwise.
Does she normally run late in the morning?
She doesn't.
Is running late a learned behavior?
But her late is different than my late. Because
you can't teach lack of punctuality.
This is true.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can I talk, please, for God's sakes?
Go ahead.
I said this morning, what am I doing? This is the wrong carrot. If she's not on time for my time, and I pay that car payment, Mike, why am I taking an Uber to work when that's technically my car? I should drive that car because I own that car and I pay for that car. So
how was what was the arrangement originally? How are you going? Your average Monday, on an average Monday, all things being equal, and she works in the same building now with you.
We go together as a family.
Right.
as a family, and Oscar gets to work by 9 o'clock because that's when he needs to be there, if not earlier.
So I'm going to continue to listen and not interrupt, but please don't talk about yourself in the third
person.
You
interrupt every time you talk while I'm telling the story.
But this is the
just
last
for
time.
Full facts.
Yeah, I
please.
Understand
Thank
that.
You.
I understand how interruption works.
So
you go as a family. What happened this morning?
This morning, it hit me like a stack of bricks. I said, what am I doing? I paid for this car. I own this car. I'm going to drive it. And I said, all right, dog can't poop at the...
Can I stop you? Yes. I'm sorry. I have to. I can't.
Never
it's like
mind.
In my soul.
Why bother?
When you mangle these colloquialisms, yes. I have to jump in. Ton of bricks.
This
it
is
hit
as
me
good,
like a ton of bricks.
This is as good as it gets, Mike. As good as it gets.
Ton of bricks is good, and that's the first
What's
one.
What's a stack of bricks? Same deal.
Stack of bricks. No. Stack of bricks is a stack of bricks is when you describe where somebody lives. Todd Moore is looking at a great stack of bricks down in Alabama. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Stop. I won't
Jesus
do it again.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So a plethora of pinatas falls on me, and it says, hey, you own this car. Make a different arrangement. And I said, the arrangement is this. You don't listen to when I'm ready to go or when I'd like to be ready to leave the house. I'm going to drive. So I said, sorry, got to go. Time to teach you a lesson. Grab the car keys, walk out the door, jump in the car. And in my rearview mirror, I see my wife and my dog running out of the house. Now, a good bus driver would have left.
Yes.
Hit the pedal to the metal and rolled. But no. I put out my little stop sign like a bus driver does.
Yes.
I stopped for my wife, and they jumped in the back, stayed in the back because that was the fastest way to get moving. And I said, this is what's going to happen from now on if you're not ready to go when I'm ready to go. That means you and Santos. And then she said, you're right. I appreciate you stopping. And I said, finally, some progress.
And so the entire thing is based on when you're ready, not a hard departure time.
When I'm ready to go, which
of
means
course,
for her, if she wants to ride to work, she should be ready by 8:30.
Mm. Is she here?
She is here, yes.
Can we just bring her into your microphone for a second?
Of course. Yeah. She's equal, you know.
Fetch her, please.
I'd just like to give her a little piece of advice. And Rob, I think we might be on the exact same page.
I'd like to know if she's still out of breath from the chase. He chased her.
But this is good.
Nearly half the way?
She could have taken an Uber.
She could have.
Nah, that would have been money out of her pocket, but she could have.
Just, I think that I have this, and this could be good for everybody.
Come on in.
This could be good
Come
for
on
everybody.
In. Hi, Peach.
How Peach is here.
This is, Peach.
All right, very good. This is very, very exciting.
Come on over here.
All right. Good. I just want to speak to your wife for a moment. All right, Shannon, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. So Oscar was talking about the deal this morning where you come up the hill and you're chasing the car and you hop into the back because he's talking about being ready to go when he's ready to go, right?
Right.
Okay. This is not for him. This is not for you. This is for him, basically. But I think that's fine. That's fine. That's a perfect solution. But I think the rule ought to be the same thing goes for you. So when if you're ready to go and he's not, you're in that car also, yes. And you take off. And
you
go
also have an operator's permit. You can drive that car. You're on the insurance.
That might. Can you hear that, Oscar? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I said is that when she's ready to go and you're not, then that turnabout is fair play. That's a perfect arrangement. But there's a hard and fast time. And then when she's ready to go and you do the same thing and you keep her waiting, then she gets to take off too. Even though you're making the car payment.
I do that, and I have left him here. I mean, at work, at home, sorry. I have left him at She's home, and him. Then he'll take an Uber.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's going to be the way
New
it is.
New policy.
All right. So now
it's even Steven.
But I think that was the same policy.
We just wanted to reaffirm the policy.
Oh, okay.
So all right.
Because
that
I
was
thinking, Mike,
before.
As you predicted, yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Can I ask you a question, Shannon? Is there a way that you could assist me in getting your, let's say for till the end of the year, assuring that Oscar would
calendar
never be
tardy. Calendar year 2019?
Calendar year 2019 would never be tardy for work.
But I don't have to shave my head if he's late, do I?
No, you don't. No.
Okay.
But
God.
I'll shave mine.
No, you don't.
That's fine.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't.
Okay,
no.
Good.
No, just anything, you know, think about it. You don't have to get back to me anytime soon. Just let me know if there's any way, you know, and it's probably not going to happen anyway, but look at him.
I will try my best. I'll yell at him first thing in the morning to get up.
Because of the tardy departure today, did Santos go without his seatbelt?
No.
Good. That dog's safety is paramount.
All right. Thank you very much, Shannon. Good seeing you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Peach.
What a lovely young woman she is. Always a pleasure. And didn't she look wonderful this morning?
Lovely.
Just ready for the
win. You know what she is? She's a knockout.
You treat that
how
girl
you
right.
Do it.
You treat that.
That's how you do what?
That's how you do it.
Yes. And, well, other than that, my wife will just tell me I'm fat. That's good. Let's start the show. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Good evening. This is Charles Collingsworth at the White House in Washington, D.C. For many of you, this will be your first visit to this historical landmark. Our tour through these hallowed halls will be conducted by the First Lady.
Good evening, Charles.
Good evening. Shall we begin here in the West Wing?
Yes. If your cameras will just move through these oak panel doors over here on our left, we will be in the Calvin Theater.
Take you back to the 1960s. This is Jackie Kennedy.
It was named after our 35th president. I can't help but wish your cameramen had opened the doors before they moved their heavy cameras for them. The doors, incidentally, were a gift from Mrs. R.C. Greenleaf of Raleigh, North Carolina. They were made out of solid oak, and up until a few seconds ago, they stood over 15 feet high.
They were lovely.
Still funny.
Now we are approaching the Thomas Jefferson Room, which I think you'll find rather interesting. President Jefferson used to come into this room and sit for hours just gazing out the window at the White House lawn. The White House lawn was a gift from Mrs. W.C. Ridgway of Hollyhock, Virginia. The president and I decided to leave it just the way it was originally.
It's lovely.
This football, which has just come crashing through the $5,000 President McKinley French windows, belongs to the current president, who, of course, is also my husband.
He's lovely.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Can you enlighten our audience as to that clip, if anybody wants to do a deep dive? That's from
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. That's actually from the LP. It dropped in 1960. It's called The First Family by Vaughn Meter. And a weird and almost dark piece of trivia. It was the fastest selling album in American history until they released The Funeral Service of John F. Kennedy, and that sold faster. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, very scary and weird and all that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for joining us from Flemington, New Jersey, to Tempe, Arizona, from Austin, Texas, to Krakow, Wisconsin. Didn't know there was a Krakow, Wisconsin. From Webster, New York, to Yanga, Veracruz, Mexico. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by 23andMe. We were talking about it this weekend, as a matter of fact. Nowadays, we can use data to learn about who we are. 23andMe allows you to go beyond ancestry to access more personalized insights about you based on your DNA. If you're keeping track of your boy here, 54%
Irish. 54% leprechaun. That's me.
Receiving your personalized genetic reports is just the beginning. You can take the next steps by talking to your healthcare provider or considering lifestyle changes to be a better you. Learn things like the deep sleep report. If you've always suspected that you feel sleepier than others after missing out on a night of sleep, you might be not be imagining things. Your genes may be involved. Alcohol flush reaction. Does alcohol turn your cheeks as pink as a glass of rosé? Rob Spiewak.
Got it. Got it.
You may have the alcohol flush reaction. Learn about the genetic factors that make it hard for some people to process alcohol. Saturated fat and weight report. Boy, that's timely today.
Yes.
Learn if you are likely to weigh more on a diet high in saturated fat, even if you consume the same number of calories as someone else. Hi.
Hi.
All of us at TMOS did 23andMe, and our results are fascinating. See what your genes can say about your health, your traits, and more. But buy your Health Plus Ancestry Service Kit today at 23andme.com/TMOS. That's the number 23andme.com/TMOS. Again, that's 23andme.com/TMOS. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes.
Welcome back Canada. To the United States, Mike.
Yes. Oh, welcome home.
Wonderful week. You know, when you have a weekend, 2 days and a lot of driving too, but you got a really short period of time, but you still feel like you had yourself a little mini
perfect.
Escape.
That's and a big effing win.
Yeah.
It's a big, big win. Yeah. And what a great city. Great people, our friends, Mike and Nancy. I want to thank them for getting together with us, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful time. I don't know where to begin, but yeah, it was food, food, food. Maybe I will just start with this because we have a lot of foodies in our audience, yeah. And maybe I will simply say that I'll give you all the food highlights of the weekend.
All right.
So I get ready for this trip, and because we've been busy, and Michael's staying with my sister, and there's a lot going on, and we're getting ready to kind of begin the process of winding down up here. I didn't do my usual deep dive about a city. Normally, I do a lot more research than I did. And because I know I've got Colonel Colburn up there, he's kind of picking up the slack, and I know it's everything.
Does he know the city? Has he been there before?
Yeah,
is he familiar with it?
Yeah, they know the city. Yeah. They're up near the border in Vermont where they are, so they know the city a little bit better than I do. And so, they're not regulars, but they know enough of it, and they know more than we do. So he was great because he took the ball on a lot of things, and we got an Airbnb together where the parking's a little bit of a challenge, but we go into the city, and the drive up there was very cool. I will say right out of the gate that before I get to the food, the coolest experience other than the weekend in Montreal, we are right about at the border. And we come to one of those, people have always experienced this, where they're repairing a bridge. And because they're repairing it, there is only one lane available.
Right.
And they set up a temporary light so that you have to stop and wait to go across this single lane.
One-way traffic is all.
Yeah. One-way traffic. So it's a long wait. And then the people come across, and then we get the green light. As we are making our way across the bridge, when we just get over to the other side, it happens. A moose. A juvenile male moose. Hello there, yes, siree. Comes out of the woods on the other side, and Carla and I are looking in the same direction. This is so fleeting.
Yes.
We get this moose for maybe 10 seconds tops.
Right.
And because it's so fleeting, we see it at the same time.
That's great.
And we go, get your moose. And then at this point, we have the iPhone that's mounted in the
holder.
And of course, I've never read the instructions about the iPhone. So Carla says, you've got to get a picture of this. And I lunge for the phone that's in the holder that can accommodate other phones that are not the size of a 55-inch television. And mine is so wedged in. So I'm prying it out. That takes time. And then I have the map feature that we're using for our
navigation.
And I'm hitting the button. I'm swiping up to back. I'm left to right. I'm doing everything I can, and it
because he doesn't
will
have a home
yield.
Button. He's got the modern guy.
The button, because they improved it so much. Dicks.
I miss the home button, just for the record.
Yeah.
It's not. So, and then later on, I am
can't
to
go
find
home
out
again,
that
Mike.
A simple swipe from top to bottom would have immediately accessed my
Sometimes you got to enjoy it, Mike. You can't take a picture of everything.
Just remember, Mike, just remember what the Cowardly Lion says, from top to bottom us.
Did you see moose tracks?
From top to bottom us. I ate moose tracks.
Oh.
No. So we're not able to do that, but it was gone in a nanosecond.
Tall guy, young guy.
Yeah, how big? And how are the antlers?
As far as the moose, I gathered the moose did appear to have the beginnings of antlers, which would indicate that it was a male and a young male. And the one thing that
was
I will tell you about we didn't get didn't
yes,
see
he was carrying
wiener.
A gun as I save you.
Didn't see his wiener. didn't see it long enough to see his wiener, but I bet it's big.
Luckily,
he's a big creature.
Mike, luckily, Carla had her phone ready, and although she didn't get a photograph, she was able to get audio tape of the moose.
Oh, really?
Let's listen to the audio tape of the moose, or we could stop the show in totality.
Okay, let's see. Well, obviously, the best way to get to Washington is run for office and be elected.
Worth it!
That was even better.
Yeah.
Those are his people, though. He's satisfying his people.
I do
because
like
all the
Bull
memes
Winkle.
I got. All the memes that I got were cartoons of moose. Fine. So anyway, it's
it's
a big
a human
deal for,
condition, Mike.
It's a
we
big
love
deal.
Cartoons.
Yeah, we love cartoons. Who doesn't love cartoons? Stupid cartoons. So but a moose up here, it's a big deal because they're elusive, and there are moose safaris where people go out, and maybe you're going to see one, maybe you're not.
Hold it. There's a moose safari.
There, you will go out in kayaks, and you will go out in
I bet
canoes.
There is. Makes sense.
And you will go out
I've
to see.
I've never heard of That's marvelous.
Well, no, you'll go. They have them in the woods where you go out to this place, and they will take you on. You know, anything where you're looking for wildlife can be called a safari.
I suppose.
Do you understand that?
It's like
I
a whale watching trip, right?
Sure, it's a whale safari, but I had never heard the phrase
they have
before.
Whale
and it's very
watching trips off the coast, like right off Ocean City. Like if you take a boat out, and you're like, where am I? Went once, no whales.
Yeah, well, it can happen like that.
What they always do is they'll say, if you don't see a whale, your next trip's free, but then they still have your money.
Well,
so true.
That's their guarantee. If you think about it, what they do is that's big whale putting it to you.
That's big whale. it was a big deal for a lifelong person, a lifelong visitor to this state, and to finally see one. And really, the last time we went to Canada, to Quebec City, that's the first time we went through the North Woods of Maine, and we were thinking in terms of moose, moose, moose. And then last year, I think we went to the Sugarloaf region, Carrabassett Valley, I think it's called, and they are big on seeing moose there. And we were driving through the same area to get to Montreal. And so to see this for me, it was a big deal, and it was a big deal to Carla too. And when you're up here and you know how elusive they are, it is a big deal to see them. And I'm sure
that's
a lot
cool.
of people, it's not a big deal. I can go to it. Well,
it's wildlife.
It's a big deal.
That's very cool, especially since it's been sort of on your bucket list.
I still get excited when I see a deer around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the deer, and we still stop when we see a deer. Yeah.
I get excited downtown when I see a rat.
Oh, by the way, I've never said this on the show, but I prepped up a couple of weeks ago. What do you think the number one roadkill is up where we live?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I would say senior citizens.
No, the old people are not killed that
I'm
going to
say beavers.
Same regularity as this.
Beavers.
What?
Beavers.
Not beavers, no.
Is it rats?
No.
Possum.
No, close.
Ooh,
getting warmer.
Raccoon.
Getting warmer.
Do they have a pouch for babies?
No.
So the kangaroo is off the table.
The elusive Maine kangaroo.
Well, I think
boing boing boing.
Right.
I think the possums have the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, come up to Maine.
Right,
we're gonna have the kangaroo boxing show right after Timbertina and the Great Lumberjack Show.
I'd like to see Timbertina take on a kangaroo.
Wouldn't that be great? Timbertina boxes a moose. Then I'm watching.
See, now I'm all in.
Right. Yeah. Roadkill.
So it's got to be a nighttime creature, probably a tree creature.
They are very active nocturnally.
Mm.
I don't know whether they are. I don't know whether they are a rodent or not, but they are. No, I know they're
probably not a bat.
Gophers.
All right, I'm going to give Rob a hint, and he might get it.
Okay.
Think three. Think Three Stooges language.
Three Stooges language. Porcupine.
That's it.
Oh my
god!
Constant porcupines dead on the road up there.
Do they get your tires? If you roll over,
them against the grain. It's fine. Okay. Yeah,
I try not to squish them when I see them in the road. I try to avoid them, and they're usually in the middle. But yeah, lots of dead porkies.
That's weird.
That's
too bad.
Do you see them alive too? I mean, do you see them occasionally?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Maybe they have a god complex. They just don't realize that weight won't stop it.
God complex. Eh? So we see the moose. It's very exciting. On the drive back, and I have not shared this with you, because I didn't think it was appropriate to post a photograph. But we're driving by, and we are in Canada, making our way back yesterday morning, zinging along on a two-lane road in the wilds of Canada. And we drive, we're going about probably 55, 60 miles an hour, not too fast. And we zoom by, and I said, did you see that? And Carlos said, yeah, I saw that. I said, what the hell was that? I said, I don't know, but it looked like fur. And so I said, we have to turn around. And we turn around. This big mound of brown fur.
Oh, no.
Off to the side of the road. And I thought it was a bear. I really thought it was
my guess.
A bear.
That would have been my guess.
And we turn around. We hang a U-turn. And we zip back. And on the side of the road, unfortunately, this is very sad, is a dead female moose. And it was massive. It was big. And it looked maybe old. I'm not sure. But here's the thing. I've always heard that up here in the Great White North, that if a moose has an encounter with an automobile, it's usually the moose that wins.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I wasn't. But I don't. We don't know how the thing died. Mm-hmm. I have.
Do you think it could have been? Was it part of the opioid crisis? I know there's a lot of medicine up there going around. Could it be meth?
You are the worst.
Did you see the moose's teeth?
It's a serious subject.
It is.
You're going to go to hell. It's a dead moose.
It's a dead moose laying in the road.
And it was marked with, like, it had orange tape on it. And, you know, I'll show it to you.
Oh, my God. It's massive. I would think it's a bear.
Yeah,
I would think it's a bear. Yeah.
It's very sad. Very, very sad. I don't want to linger on that. But we stared, you know, because, I mean, it's a moose.
Sure.
You don't usually see something like that.
We've seen now two moose, one alive, one dead, on the side of the road. And I guess they're thick enough up here where they're stumbling out into.
Also, you account for the car. I would imagine a regular sedan would get the beat down, but if it's a truck or something like that.
Well, there was a side view mirror right next to it, so it looks like it did some damage to the car. Mm. You know, it's a sad thing. When I see a roadkill like that on a side, I just wish it was a radio station general manager instead of a moose.
Oh, my God.
Some orange tape on them.
Oh man! Imagine driving by. You know, I drove by and I go by and I look at it. You know, it's like, what is that on the side of the road? I don't know. What is it? Oh, it's Sam Rogers.
A GM sign.
All right. You know, I do a high five and keep driving. You know, maybe a little loogie out the window. But anyway,
general manager with a rearview mirror and orange tape.
There you go.
We haven't heard about the food yet.
No, we haven't.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I got all moosed up. I apologize. Well, the moose is a pretty big part of the deal. So
massive.
Yes. I'll tell you all about the food. We got two places that we went that are local hangouts, and I will have the details. And then the single greatest breakfast I have ever had. And it's why I am currently 100,000 pounds. We will take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara.
Time now for Fun with Languages. Today we speak Japanese. True enlightenment is found through laughter.
真の悟りは笑いを通して見つかる.
A TMOS bonus show package is the perfect way to achieve comedic zen.
TMOS bonus show packageは喜劇的なzenを達成するための完璧な方法です.
Click the bonus show banner at MikeOmeraShow.com to begin your quest for hilarity now.
MikeOmeraShow.comでボーナスショーのバナーをクリックしてハイラリティの探求を始めましょう.
The Sugar Glider is my spirit animal.
シュガーグライダーは私の精神動物です.
Domo arigato.
Zatsu Jimu Amato.
Might want to turn my microphone on. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by, my favorite, Liquid IV.
Yes!
The fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. I love it. Now that warm weather is here, you'll be outside all the time. You need Liquid IV more than ever, ladies and gentlemen. Liquid IV hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and more efficiently, by the way, than water alone, with an added bonus of vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. Liquid IV is the fastest growing wellness brand. You can find it everywhere, even Costco. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is sold at all Costco's nationwide. It's a healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks because it has no artificial flavors or preservatives, and the stuff works.
Yes.
It's so delicious. It's so good for you. It's wonderful, and it's great on those hot days. You know, we're going to be heading back to Florida where, you know, you have heat indices that are just off the charts, and I live with Liquid IV down there. Non-GMO, vegan, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. It can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, our listeners get 25% off at liquidiv.com. when you use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order on the Liquid IV website. Get the lemon lime. That's my fave. Go to liquidiv.com and enter the promo code TMOS to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Start hydrating today properly. Thank you.
Proper.
Very much, everybody.
MC right, Hammer so used to say that. Proper.
Proper.
Proper. You asked about food. And,
yeah.
It was, you know, it was a big part of the deal that we're going to go out there. We went to a, I didn't know this until the Colburns informed me, Michael in particular, who said to me that Montreal is known for its smoked meats.
Ooh.
Really?
Kind of makes sense. The hearty Canadians, you know. Three Canadian hunters.
That joke's not funny.
The smoked meats. And so the first night we went to a deli. We went to a deli in the middle of Montreal called Schwartz's Deli. Been around for a million years. And there's a line.
Was it crowded?
It was super crowded.
Well, apparently that's a good sign when the restaurant is crowded. That means a lot of people want to eat there already.
And the thing to get there, apparently, it's called the smoked meat sandwich. Mm. What it essentially seems to be is like a corned beef sandwich. That seems to be the similar
because
flavor
when you take,
profile.
If you take corned beef and smoke it, I believe that's how it becomes pastrami.
Okay. Well,
Let me check, but I think that's what happened.
I don't think it's that important.
I don't think you should talk, ever. It's a shame that you didn't get left at home
today.
Oh,
it's the first time you look at your iPad. I forgot if meat came from pastrami.
It's fun to be you, isn't it?
Please
what
continue,
cares
Mike.
About. So this is a good joint. The food was good. It was yummy. And the second night was the real... that's the night that I did my research. And I picked another joint that was kind of a poutinery. Where they have massive variety, and this is where they just have different kinds of poutine. Poutine's a big deal. Now I don't know where many Americans are aware of it, but I don't know where it really caught fire, or whether it's been ultra amazingly popular in the Great White North for a long, long time. I don't know these things, you know, because I just don't read enough.
I think I get at least half credit, maybe more. Pastrami is a meat product usually made from beef, but sometimes pork, mutton, or turkey. The raw meat is brined, which is known as corning, partially dried, seasoned
with
herbs and spices.
Look up Schwartz's Deli, Montreal, smoked meat sandwich.
And then smoked and steamed. So it is smoked corned beef, I believe.
Do some good. Do some good.
It's a lot of work for meat.
There you go. Well, no, I just want to know what I'm talking about because they say smoked meat, and it tasted like corned beef or like pastrami or something like that. And it was delicious. And we sat, we had a table for four that had a two top at the end of it. So we talked to a wonderful Canadian couple where this guy was a teacher from Vancouver. Ooh. And they were visiting and they were super cool, talking about Canada. And, I always like to, go down the political route. Mm-hmm. And, they're very curious about our politics in the United States. And it was just one of these crowded places on a Friday night, and good company, the good time was had by all. And then the next night was my deal, and I picked a place that was known for poutine, which is, if you want to know what poutine is, it's French fries covered with beef gravy and cheese curds. All right. And if that sounds like you are literally injecting a blockage into your major artery, then you're absolutely right. Yes.
Mike, you left out an important fact when you're ordering your smoked meat sandwich.
Yes.
That you order it based on fat content.
Ooh.
Really?
It says here, the meat is served by the fat content, either lean, medium, medium fat, or fat. Medium and medium fat are the most popular.
We probably went with medium.
The classic Schwartz's meal includes a medium fat sandwich, fries, half sour pickle, coleslaw, red pepper, and a black cherry soda.
We didn't have a black cherry soda, but that we had the coleslaw, we had the pickle.
The pickle is good.
We had the smoked meat. But what is the smoked meat sandwich? What the hell is it?
It didn't define it here. I'm finding it now.
It's beef.
It is beef.
They had a lot of variety. And they sold smoked turkeys, too. That,
like a to-go?
By the pound. I think to-go. I think a lot of people were getting stuff to-go. Take it in the car.
I just don't know.
In the car.
Back to the B&B.
So you should also know my curiosity comes from just yesterday watching the 30 for 30 for competitive eating, where you have...
It's so gross. I hate competitive eating.
But
I hate it.
But I'm catching up on that series, and I didn't know they had made one for Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut. And Joey Chestnut, they talk about their origin stories and
these
how they
got
involved.
These are the Coney Island hot dog eating.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yes. Right. So what it made me think of is that Joey Chestnut, they had his father on profiling like when his son would start eating.
Right.
And he said, his father says, you know, we've been eating a lot since we were kids. They were kids. They would go by, pick up a couple pies, full pizzas, through, let's say, a local pizzeria. And then, so they have two of them. They would each eat one of the pizzas on the way home from where they were going and then eat dinner again. So he's saying that.
Were they doing this to be.
No, this is just how they ate. This is just how they ate before he even got into competitive eating. He's just telling his origin story of how they started eating. So it made me think of you, and not that you would do this.
The origin story of eating.
But you're leaving what is a wonderful, like, surreal experience at this meal in Montreal, and then you're like, oh, I'll take a smoked turkey to go.
We blew out of there, went back to Airbnb.
Did you even think about
beers.
How
did you consider it?
Did you consider
no. No, I just looked at that. That's one of the things. They sold ducks and they sold turkeys. Oh, wow. So the smoking thing, I guess that's their big deal.
Yeah.
And
I've got the recipe here, Mike. What it is, it's a 5-pound beef brisket.
Okay, see, I thought it was a beef brisket. It's
okay,
good
and it, you right. completely submerge and you brine it in kosher salt, what is called Prague powder, which from what I can tell is a lot like Montreal steak seasoning, right. which makes sense. Powdered dextrose, pickling spices. You brine for 2 days in the refrigerator. You steam and then finish in a warm oven, slice thinly, serve with mustard on rye bread.
Well, it was fantastic.
That sounds
great. And then the next day, I do my research because I'm going to pick the place I'm tasked with, not really tasked, but I sort of assume the mantle of checking the dinner location for the following night. And so I'm looking and I'm trying to find exactly what it's going to be. And I decide casual will be fun. We're in a casual mode all weekend. We didn't want to go super fancy. By the way, we went to a second location after the smoked meat, a place called the House of Jazz, where they had a band playing. But
what kind of music?
Jazz band. It was like a weekend band. You know, she did like a semi jazzy version of Honky Tonk Woman.
Hey, that's good.
And then I said that.
Chuck, please.
That's the worst version of Honky Tonk Woman I've ever heard.
And then a lot of George Thorogood covers. Yeah.
But the place we went to the next night was, I forgot the name of it. Shoot. It's really well known for Banquise or something. It's a French name.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, the crazy thing is they all speak French up there.
They've got a different word for
known
everything.
For poutine?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the poutinerie.
All right, hold on. I'll get it for you. I'm going to get it for you right now. Let me do it.
We'll pat.
Let me see.
Rob.
La Banquise.
Oh!
La Banquise. LABANQUISE. La Banquise. And they got poutine out the wazoo.
And you know how painful that can
be. Casual. It's super casual. Another line, about 5 o'clock. And, oh, my God, they had so many different. And the cool thing about this, the menu was all in French.
Mm.
And it was very, very French-Canadian. And we just. I mean, Jimmy, I love your poutine, but you got to go to this place.
Oh.
It was so spectacular. And you can get it different ways. Michael Colburn got the smoked meat poutine.
Mm.
So that was even because he likes the smoked meat.
Sure.
He likes his brisket. And I got chicken with peas on top of it with the gravy there. And it's just fantastic. So there you go. And
100,000 pounds.
Before I wrap this up, I know do I have to come back and tell
we
the
should,
breakfast
we, you should come all back right. for the breakfast
God,
story.
God yes. damn it. Right.
Please.
We're expanding the show to 9 hours.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Done,
we'll
done.
Take a break. We'll come back. Bonjour.
Hello.
And the Montreal travelogue will continue on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Do you remember in Indiana Jones when Indy threw that guy off the dirigible? People were staring at Indy, and he goes, "No ticket." If you're going to TMOS Live 10th Anniversary Spectacular, don't let that happen to you. Get your tickets now before they all sell out. And when you get to Vegas, if you're standing out on the tarmac at McCarran, engaging in fisticuffs like you're some kind of Jack Dempsey, watch out for that propeller!
Welcome back. Yeah, ooh. Nasty scene there.
Love that.
This portion of the Mike O'Meara Show brought to you by Ring. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer by keeping you connected to your home from anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or surprise visitor, you'll get an alert and you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them All from your phone, no matter where you are, thanks to the HD video and two-way audio features on Ring devices. By the way, I've got a MacBook Air. I look at my Ring devices on my Mac as well. You can put it there. I have the Ring floodlight cam, so I can keep track of Maine when I'm in Florida. I check it, especially with weather, I check it all the time. It's a motion-activated security camera with built-in floodlights. We had a lot of people crawling around here when we were up in Montreal. We got to check them out and see what was going on, see who was walking the dog, if they were doing it, when they were doing it. It was fantastic. You can see, hear, and speak to anyone on your property from anywhere. I love Ring. You're going to love it here. Pro tip, get the protection plan.
Yes.
All of your Ring video is saved forever, and that equals peace of mind. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring starter kit. It's available right now. It has a video doorbell, motion-activated floodlight cam. The starter kit has everything you need to start building a Ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS and start living safer today. Okay, I'm raving about the poutine up there. It is probably one of the most fattening things you can eat, but it is so incredibly tasty. And, if somebody doesn't like poutine, I'm not going to trust them. That's all there
is. And I'll do
it.
Anything for I food. I wouldn't trust it. Yes. 2 dozen eggs, 36 pork chops, 24 frankfurters. Yes. I've eaten a dozen bagels at one time.
Right.
With 2 packages of cream cheese. I'm never full.
Never.
I am never, ever full physically. I stopped at a Jewish deli and had 2 pastrami on clubs, 4 frankfurters, 2 knishes, and then went home and had Chinese food.
The Chinese food is, I always think, the best part of that tape.
Yeah, because it's so gross.
It is.
It's so incredible.
Because that's
gross,
what you need after 24 frankfurters.
And you did it, and he did it. So it's delicious. It's wonderful. And then we had an early departure yesterday morning, and we head out. And we go, we just hit the road. We're on the highway. And
how was your frame of mind and your physical frame of mind when you left? Were you feeling okay after all the food?
To be perfectly honest with you, they have 2 sizes. You can get Grand, the large one,
yes,
or regular. And each one of us had, when I posted those pictures with the empty plates, we all had a regular. And then that was it. And then we went back and had a quiet evening and we're up early. So it was a decadent food item, but not so much of it that it was completely over the top.
Was it a really quiet evening, or at any time were you accused of playing with flarp?
It was, you know what? It was a quiet evening and we were in a bit of a food coma.
I bet.
We were a bit of a
sleepy time.
I think it was a mile and a half or so to the restaurant downhill. And then after the poutine, a mile and a half back up the hill.
Yes.
And
oh, so, dear.
You know, so I was just like, you know. And it was sleepy time and early to bed.
Yeah.
And because of that incredible amount of exercise, we the next morning we're out and we're driving along. And Carl and I both kind of know that this is our swan song, that Sunday's our swan song. And Carl and I, when we travel in particular, we go into this mode where, you know, we're back on the grind on Monday. Right. So this is our last opportunity.
And celebrate.
To celebrate.
Freedom.
We're looking, and Carla at one point says, let's just stop and get a like a Egg McMuffin or an Egg White Delighted. And I said, no. No, I want to sit down breakfast. I want to sit down breakfast on my gross food weekend. We find a joint. All right. I go into the map and I find a joint called Ben and Florentine. Ben and Florentine, a breakfast joint.
Oh,
so and a breakfast joint is part of the name of the restaurant?
No, it's Ben. It was a breakfast.
Oh, okay. Place, oh, I thought perhaps that was on the sign. I said, yeah, "Oh my God, it's meant to be."
I think you can look up if you want to do the research. It's Ben and Florentine. It's right off the highway, and we're just gonna go get sit down.
Better than a fast food like a meal.
Yes, of breakfast. Course. Yeah, it's like a diner. Looks like it might be a Denny's of Canada or something. Mm-hmm. Well, it probably is considered a Denny's of Canada, but the difference is those people up in Canada, as I have mentioned before, they poop all over us when it comes to their ability to make food. They know what they're doing. And I open up this menu, I'm like, oh my God, look what they're offering. And it's all hearty and it's all spectacular. And then because I had such a great little poutine experience, and I'm talking about my food, I look down and I see breakfast poutine.
Oh,
and I am here to tell you, I am here to say Did you look up Ben and Florentine?
60 locations worldwide. There is one in Montreal, and they serve 4.5 million customers a year.
Damn.
Spectacular.
Yes.
If you get a chance, check it out. I highly recommend it.
They are headquartered in Saint Laurent.
Where's Saint Laurent?
Canada.
In Canada?
Yeah, Saint Laurent, Canada.
The lady in her French-Canadian was kind of telling me it might have been purchased by an American company, so I'm not sure.
Hey, what are you having for breakfast?
Hi, how are you? So they have breakfast poutine, and I'm like, hey, Carla, we had poutine last night. Look, they've got a breakfast poutine.
Oh, all right, no. Here we go.
So get your French fries underneath. You can get it with breakfast potatoes or French fries. You have gravy.
Yes.
Then you have the cheese curd, again, like a regular poutine. Then they put... they put the breakfast meats on it. You get your sausage, you get your ham, you get your bacon.
Oh, my God.
Three.
It was...
diced?
It was... let me just tell you something. It was spectacular, spectacular. And then they top it off. They top it off. I'm so gross. They top it off with hollandaise sauce.
Oh, and an egg. My God.
Oh, well, the egg needs the hollandaise.
No, it just was... It wasn't massive. It was just all that stuff was in there in a reasonable... and it was...
and reasonably Carla priced.
Claims that it reasonably priced. Carla claims I was too over the top about it. She said, yes, it was good. I said, and of course, I get indignant when she says this. I'm looking at her and go, good. It was great. It was great. And then
better than
then
the night before? Or you can't compare the two?
Yes, I can. And because the mood I was in and because it was breakfast and I didn't expect it, it was fantastic. And then I got into the car. And that's when, the abdominal distress lasted all the way.
There was urgency.
Past the dead moose all through Canada. And, And now everybody would say that's the kind of eating that is very bad for you. Well, and then if you go into the guy that will do anything for food, it would have been fine if we didn't stop at the donut place also on the way out.
My God.
Did Carla also have breakfast?
Just wanted to say hi to my good buddy Trip. I love the man.
Did Carla also have breakfast poutine? Or did she have something else at Ben and Florentine?
She had breakfast poutine. She did not share my... because Carla is thin. And Carla, and I think thin people would be, oh, what's that? No, I go, oh my God, it's all there.
From your description, Mike, it hits on all like the flavor hot spots.
Yes.
Sounds like a lot of work, though, the poutine.
It's probably a lot of work to prepare it. Oh, okay. Not a lot of work to eat it. That's it. We got to take another break. I'm sorry. We're up on another break, right, Rob? Is that it?
We got 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
So we're caught up. Yes. Oh, good. Okay. So with this poutine, it was just the balance, and that's the word I want to use, all right, for the foodies out there. The word is balance.
Balance.
By the way, this will go back. I will look at this show as the fattest show that I have ever done. Oh, yeah.
Mike, does it have to do with the fact that it's hard to keep your balance after you eat the breakfast poutine?
This is the reverse of what, or the opposite of what a food diary should be.
Yes. Because this is the opposite.
Yeah. You know what this is? A food confessional.
Right. Yeah, confessional.
Right.
This is what
food
it is.
This is a confessional. I cop to it. I cop to it being exciting to me. And I'm also, I am aware of myself. I'm self-aware. I know what I'm doing. It was wrong. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. But if you are so inclined to have a decadent breakfast, I don't want to use the word decadent because up there, they're all chowing down and stuff. And
hearty.
Hearty. It was a hearty. It was the heart and the flavor.
The balance of flavors that between the sauces and the holidays.
It was fantastic.
I got an Oscar.
It's the best. If you want a savory, there's the word. If you want a savory breakfast, this was the greatest breakfast I have ever had. It's the breakfast poutine at Ben and Florentine. And I realize I'm not auditioning for the Food Network here, but it was that good. And by the way, if you're looking at my hand, it's like this. My fat little hand going...
Oscar, afford me a question that will mean nothing to you.
I'm here.
Grade the hollandaise.
Spectacular.
Really? Because it's tough sometimes.
Light, delicious, fresh, wonderful, good, spectacular, big, successful.
A note of lemon in it? Little tartness to it?
Not as much as you might think, but it just was so good.
Good.
It was
I can't wait. Yummy. And the gravy.
And it was
great,
just this tiny and wonderful.
What about the gravy?
The gravy, the hollandaise would replace the gravy. So it was that kind of thing.
So no gravy and hollandaise.
No, not gravy and hollandaise. No, sorry. To the Canadian people, I salute you. You've always known how to eat, and it was a wonderful, decadent little trip.
But don't see Mike's message as an invitation. We got our eye on you. You may not attack.
Yeah, don't attack, please.
Please don't attack.
Do not attack.
Don't do that. It's just, I don't know. I just love the country.
Well, how do you grade your Airbnb experience?
Yeah, your first time, right?
The Airbnb, and I only have a second here to talk about that. The Airbnb was, I ask you, because you've done this a few times, I found it to be, when I asked Michael about it, I said, how do you rate it? He said, a little more banged up than I expected. Mm-hmm. And how many Airbnbs are like that? I mean, are
it's
they
interesting you
where
say
the
that.
Pictures where the pictures look a little better than the actual
maybe
joint.
This is because we're up on the news, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So right. Maybe this is a conversation we can have tomorrow, because I would love to enlighten you on a couple other options, including Airbnb Plus. What do you know about that?
Really? Really? Oh, okay. Well, I found it. It was fine, and it was cool because it was two bedrooms, and we were staying with
another
couple.
Any hidden cameras?
And, you know, if there were, oh, man, did they get a show for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the kind of show that you'd want to put on a regular website. So that's
for sure. The weird thing is, Oscar, there was two bedrooms, but only one got used.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now they're swiggers.
I'm sure. No, let me just say, after a day of walking in Montreal, before we went to dinner, I went into the single bathroom they had for the whole facility. And let's be honest, that was a better than any Cirque du Soleil performance you'd ever see. So I wouldn't say for that particular thing.
Did you suspend yourself? Yeah, from the shower curtain.
I looked like really I was it could have been a scene from 2001, A Space Odyssey. He's completely on his side. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the news you may not need right here on the Michael Mary Show. Let's get to know our friends at KCJJ. Tom Suter. He loves to play guitar. He was a member of the popular rock and roll group, the B-52s. Tom stands an impressive 7'2" in his bare feet. Tom loves to tinker in his workshop and is responsible for inventing the bottle cap, cocktail sauce, and the scotch tape dispenser. Tom is happily married now, but escorted Jill Clayburgh to the 1978 Oscars and got to third base. Tom studied baking for 9 years and made the wedding cakes for many of Larry King's marriages. And Tom owns a magic stapler. But mostly, Tom is the general manager of radio station KCJJ, airing the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009. Thank you, Tom. And thank you, KCJJ.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We will do the bonus show package commercial tomorrow.
That's fine.
No worries. Just simply overkill, ladies and gentlemen. It truly, truly is. But the bonus packages are available. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by Pepsodent brand tooth polish. You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent. Anyway, enjoy. Get our bonus show. It's your passport to the Asport. Please buy the TMOS bonus show. Rob, you get a day off. Put the same one up tomorrow.
You're going to love it. There's one line that I'm particularly proud of.
That's very, very, very exciting. And without further ado,
news.
There has been a lot of talk about equal pay in soccer in the wake of the Women's World Cup. And Procter & Gamble is jumping into the fray because their secret brand deodorant is a sponsor of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Procter & Gamble is donating $529,000 to help close the pay gap, which breaks down to $23,000 for each of the 23 players on the U.S. team. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Obviously, that doesn't fully cover the pay gap. They also took out a full-page ad in the New York Times urging the U.S. Soccer Federation to be on the right side of history. You're a soccer fan.
Yes.
I think this is a cool move for P&G.
Well, I think look, I know I do a lot of shtick, and I make my wife chase the ride to work. So maybe this isn't coming from the right guy, but I think it's crazy that we still have to advocate for equal pay in this effing day and age.
It's amazing that it's still out there, and I don't know how it is. I really don't get that. It just seems like after all this time,
you would not want to be on that wrong side.
Yeah, it seems like... They're hiding it, right? It seems like it's just kind of this corporate thing still going on, and it affects the bottom line, so it's not out front. I really believe that, and maybe it'll just be a law.
You know, the thing about sports right now, is there any better sports story that we've seen in the last year than women's soccer?
Okay, no, but look at it this way.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
when
be a part of that.
I'll give you a really, really fair example, and maybe I have a different perspective because we've started this business. Not at any point, when we have female and male employees here, and maybe this is because of this new generation. Do we ever look at, it's a male or female?
Mm-hmm.
It's the merits themselves. And I think with this new generation of people, even if you have an established business and you're talking about costs and what goes into delivering your end product. I can't say this is across the board, but if you're hiring people and you have this inequality, there's a way to correct it. Mm-hmm. And if you went to your board of directors and said, we have a miscalibration here, we have to correct this, I imagine the board would sign off on that.
Yeah.
It's just, I get right back to where you were originally with that. How it still exists is absolutely mind-boggling to me. I don't get it. Well, it's been a food show, and we might as well involve the Queen in the food show. Queen Elizabeth refuses to say what her favorite food is, and the reason is brilliant. She doesn't want to overdose on it. A British reporter who used to cover the royal family says, quote, as one of her staff told me, if she said she had a favorite meal, she would never get served anything else. That's the way they handle the royals.
All right.
But her former personal chef says she has a thing for chocolate biscuit cake. Quote, it's the only cake that goes back again and again and again every day until it's all gone. She'll take a small slice every day until eventually there is only one tiny piece. But you have to send that up. She wants to finish the whole of that cake.
Mm. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No. I think it's probably a kind of a British thing. But yeah, I would imagine that's the way the Queen plays it. Maybe that's why she's
it has toasted hazelnuts, Mike.
Thank you, Rob. What a show. Paul McCartney, your man, Rob.
Yes.
He performed at Dodger Stadium on Saturday night. It was the last stop on his tour, and he had a special treat for fans. During the encore, he brought out Ringo Starr, who looks phenomenal.
He does.
Ringo is, what, 75 or something like that?
I think he's closer to 79. I think he was born pre-war.
Unbelievable. Wow. I went back and looked at this video three or four times just to look at Ringo. Now, obviously, he's got the hair dye happening, but still, the way he looked, it was surreal.
It's amazing that Paul is still selling out 90,000 seat stadiums, and Ringo is playing theaters now with the All-Star Band. But right? Everyone says Ringo's show has a more positive, fun vibe than Paul's. And that if you're going to go see a Beatle, go see Ringo.
Oh, wow.
So I'd like to see
him. Brought Ringo out. He says, we got a surprise for us, a surprise for you, a surprise for everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Ringo Starr.
I have tape, so if you want to hear Paul's thinning voice a little bit.
Yeah, so when he introduces them?
Yeah, and a little bit of their songs that they did.
Okay. All right, let's listen.
All right, here we go.
The one and only Ringo Starr.
Dodger Stadium. Okay.
Brother, I love you, man. One, two, three, four.
There you go. That's all we need. That's it. So that's they did Sgt. Pepper. They did Helter Skelter. It's rare for Paul and Ringo to share a stage these days. They also teamed up for a performance of Paul's songs "Queenie Eye" at the 2014 Grammys. Paul performed a 38-song set. He paid tribute to George Harrison singing Something and to John Lennon singing Here Today. He also brought out Eagles guitarist Joe Walsh during the end. Despite the epic finish, it doesn't sound like Paul's done touring. At the end, he said, quote, farewell to you guys. Farewell to America. There's only one thing left to be said. We'll see you next time. So, really a farewell tour.
He wants
tour,
all
right?
The money.
I want
he
every
He wants
damn,
all the dollars.
Every damn nickel of it.
Yeah. Wow.
Apparently, we've all been eating chocolate wrong our whole lives, according to experts. Here are four ways to make it taste even better. Number one, stop chewing it so much. You'll taste it more if you press on the roof of your mouth and let it dissolve by sucking on it. Suck on your chocolate.
Yeah,
Stop eating it in huge chunks. Breaking up into smaller pieces releases the aromas, so you taste it more, especially if it's good chocolate. Rubbing it with your thumb, also helps, but it sounds kind of messy. Number three, smell it before you eat it. Just like wine, experts say you should smell your chocolate before you pop it in your mouth. It primes your taste buds so you get more of the flavor. And number four, stop washing it down so fast. The taste of chocolate lasts a fairly long time if you let it linger longer.
So if nothing else, Mike, what have we learned today? Smell it before you eat it.
Smell it before you eat it.
And the best thing about chocolate, as far as I'm concerned, if you can get a good chocolate biscuit cake, forget it.
Yes, the Queen says that. even if you've never been to an airport in your life, I still feel like you shouldn't make this mistake. I saw this video. There's a woman in Istanbul last week. She drops off her bags at check-in. I watched this three or four times. But then instead of walking to security like everyone else, turning around and walking back into the airport, she hops onto the conveyor belt and she's standing. She drops her bags off, puts them down, and then she waits a minute like she's processing what to do. And then she takes this big step across to land on the conveyor belt, immediately falls down, and it starts like taking her to the luggage and under the airport. She gets rescued by these people, airport employees. They're able to pull her off the belt and point her in the right direction.
The belt.
The video's going viral. Did not look fake. It looked like she was a because the greatest part of it is the reaction people standing in back of her. They're all going, what the?
Yeah. Like, do we pull her off? She's not for us.
Do you think she was going after her luggage? Like, maybe she said, oh, I didn't want to check that bag. She's just riding around.
No, she put her bags down and then stepped on it like she was going to get
maybe she's
the
never traveled before. That's like a Borat.
It's another bitch. Your pony would do something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Guess I got to x-ray me.
Well, I thought that's where the plane was boarding.
Or even better, Mike, do you know where our gate is? Just take the conveyor belt.
Do I kneel, sit, or stand? Hi. Did I do this? Now a little something something.
Perfect.
Sarah and Steve Mennell from Hull, England, have two kids, a 12-year-old daughter, and her name is Tia Marie, and an 11-year-old son, his name is Jack Daniels. Those aren't first and middle names. Those are two names together. Jack Daniels and Tia Marie, each one word. Yes, it's like the booze. Tia Marie, a coffee liqueur, and Jack Daniels whiskey. But Sarah and Steve say it's just a coincidence. They had a waitress named Tia Marie in Spain and liked her name. And Jack Daniel comes from a famous Canadian running coach named Jack Daniels. In fact, they say they hardly ever drink. All I can say is I'm just glad Rob came to his senses. We were very close to having Crown going to VCU and Royal making sandwiches at Wegmans, but it didn't happen. So,
I think it's nice that they're lying in England.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Have some biscuit cake.
Oh,
some
delicious.
Chocolate biscuit cake. We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You, that's my name. ABC. A always, BBC, calling the Yak Shack. AIDA. Add interest drunk asshats. Add. Do you have something to add? Interest. Are you interesting? I know you are because it's yak or walk. You call or you hit the bricks. Drunk. Have you had a few drinks tonight? And asshats. That's kind of self-explanatory. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. F*** you. That's my name.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Listen, pal, if you screw this up, you're going to hate yourself. Hate yourself real bad. Time running out for buying your tickets for the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular. Saturday, November 16th, 2019. Only a few left, and you keep putting it off. What are you doing? The king of the procrastinators. What's wrong with you? This is going to bite you in the ass. Mark my words. Yep. Buy your tickets for Saturday and buy them now. They're on sale right now at MikeOMaraShow.com, but only until they sell out, and this will sell out. Remember this. Sell this show out by Wednesday and see Pony in a sexy onesie.
Right.
Ooh.
A me undies onesie. Is that what we're putting him
exactly.
in? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be there. The entire TMOS crew at the Zappos corporate headquarters with you if you don't blow it. Saturday, November 16th, 2019, the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular brought to you by Zappos. Don't blow this because, quite frankly, you need one in the win column. Let's open up the audio for today. This is Monday, July 15th already. Wow. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Was daughter Catherine affected by the blackout?
Oh, great question.
I did not talk to her last night. I was going to text her. I do not know. I do not have the answer for that.
You know who was affected? Everyone who wanted to see Jennifer Lopez at Madison Square Garden.
Uh-oh, they actually I didn't know it was that big a
deal. They had to evacuate MSG after the concert started, so J-Lo took to Twitter.
Hi, guys. So we're backstage. They just told me to get off stage. Obviously, all the power went out in the city and obviously here at Madison Square Garden while we were in the middle of our show. Actually, we have just started our show. They're asking everybody to evacuate very slowly and calmly, and that's what we're going to have to do. Obviously, we're going to reschedule this show. There's the alarm going off telling everybody in the announcements.
Wow.
to evacuate. I am obviously heartbroken and devastated.
Attention, this is the building engineer.
Here we go.
Due to a citywide power outage. We're going to interrupt this event.
I'm very sad. I just don't even know what to say.
The his concert has been rescheduled for tonight. It was a pretty fast turnaround. Now, have you ever seen an event at Madison Square Garden?
I've seen a hockey game or two at Madison Square Garden.
That's I saw one wrestling event there, and I can't imagine evacuating that place. I know they probably had like lights, like emergency lights, but that place is massive. And an evacuation
Penn
after the
station is right there. Yes. So, I mean, they've got the infrastructure there, I think, to get people out. And I'm sure with it being New York, they've got a contingency for how to deal with that stuff.
It was weird to see on television, though.
Now, yeah, the whole thing was scary.
What's pretty cool is that the power was restored during a press conference talking about when the power was going to be restored.
Root cause investigation to identify what may have caused it. That will follow later today.
The lights just went off behind you. How do you feel about
Good job.
By the way, you're good at what you do.
It's a great city.
It's like the power coming on. The press conference is done. You know, yeah, they're on. Get out of here. See you later. Come on.
Bangul, get out of here. Mike, are you familiar with a professional, obviously not major leagues, but a professional baseball league called the Atlantic League?
I've heard of it, yeah.
They have installed a new rule that if the catcher...
It's the umpire thing?
No. I think it's even wackier than that.
Okay.
If the catcher drops the ball, you can steal first base.
Really? Under any circumstance?
It hasn't happened. Until this weekend.
As the 0-1 pitch misses outside, Torrey Thomas is going to try to steal first. There is no throw. He's aboard.
We've seen it.
All right, stop it right there. The rule normally, if you strike out and the catcher drops the ball, you can run to first. He has to either tag you at that point or throw the ball to first base. This is amplifying that a little bit, which is pretty. I think it's a really cool rule.
Exciting.
I think that would make first base. It is a professional baseball first, Austin.
Yeah.
Wow, that's outstanding to see.
Vin Scully?
The ball is dropped by the catcher.
Right.
After he catches it.
So at any time during the at-bat, if the ball is dropped, the guy can run down
to first base.
Damn.
So does that mean he will, under any circumstances, he can run to first base when there's a pass ball?
According to what I got, is that a dropped ball. If the catcher drops the ball or, I guess, loses control of the ball. But also, what would happen, you'd have to... That's a long way to run based on a recovery. That has to be a slow catcher recovering
that
ball.
Or the catcher drops it, figures that that's the end of the play.
Right.
And doesn't realize it goes.
See, what I'm thinking about, if it goes off his glove, like if it nicks his glove and goes to the backstop, you could, who knows?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that might be it. That's interesting. I like that. I like that a lot.
Pretty neat in baseball history. Channing Tatum is a very handsome actor, and he has got an app on his phone called The Pattern. Do you know about The Pattern?
I don't know about The Pattern.
The Pattern is an astrology app that helps you use the patterns of your astrological sign to find other people that will be like you or compatible with. Well, he went on a rant about The Pattern because he says they know too much. They're obviously listening to me on my phone.
How do you know what you know about me, Pattern? People of The Pattern, people that use The Pattern, you need to DM me right now and tell me how you know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know this stuff. I don't even know if I want to know. I don't know if anybody should know this stuff. I was just in therapy yesterday. Yeah, I'm in therapy. Whatever, everybody should be in therapy. And I just get a notification on my phone this morning, boop, pops up. And using the exact words that we were using in therapy, is the phone listening? Are you listening through the phone, Pattern? AI, the algorithm that is The Pattern, are you listening through my phone and then just regurgitating the stuff that I'm afraid of? Pattern people, you should just call me. If you know so much, you know how to get in touch with me now, don't you?
So here's my thought. I said, you know what? I've always suspected that our computers and our phones are listening to us based on the fact of just ads that pop up on my Facebook page.
After having a conversation.
Yes, but... That said, he was so clear about what the app was and what the app is doing. He's promoting the app. Of course he is. And what's going to happen is, I predict in about 12 hours, The Pattern will release a press release. We don't do anything. We just have very, very powerful algorithms that allow us to find out what you're like. And he was like, that's amazing.
I agree with you. I thought that as soon as you started playing that, I'm with you like that. But at least we got he's in therapy out of it, which is cool.
I think that is good for him.
Thank you. Yeah, we all should be. Thank
yes, as he said. Mike, there is a beer called Polygamy Beer.
Oh
dear.
And what happens is, they just got banned in North Carolina because North Carolina lawmakers say polygamy is illegal in our state.
So you can't even sell the beer. Beers
based,
have,
based I got on dementia, the name of the beer, I know.
Dementia Dog. That's what I drank this weekend. Come on.
Here's a classic commercial from Polygamy Beer. Picture if you would the brewer in a hot tub and women keep joining him in the hot tub.
I'm still the same humble, easygoing guy that moved out here from Milwaukee 25 years ago to enjoy this incredible Utah lifestyle. Enjoy a delicious Love Polygamy Porter once in a while. You should give it a try. Pick up a six-pack at your local grocer. You know what we say.
Why have just one?
Polygamy Porter,
what a
Mike.
Great cup. That makes me laugh just with the audio. I bet the video's fantastic.
And I know that I pulled this tape because I know you have experience being the announcer at the first tee of like a celebrity golf tournament where famous people come up. Yep. And it is tradition. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're the pro here. You do the introduction. There's applause. There's silence. Then they hit, right?
Right. Exactly. That's how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, from Windermere, Florida. That's what I said when he lived in Windermere. Tiger Woods. Mm. And then he got up and hit. It was a thrill.
At the American Century Championship, Charles Barkley was not patient.
He was the NBA's MVP in 93, an 11-time NBA All-Star. He helped lead Team USA in two gold medals in the 92 and 96 Olympics. Please welcome Hall of Famer,
he didn't have time to wait for all that. I thought you'd like that.
That's two videos so I have great. To watch after the so show
great. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
What great audio of that, too. Sir Charles not saying anything and making me laugh again.
Whack!
Oh, that is awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well, tomorrow we'll do a deep dive into that Airbnb thing.
Oh, good.
I'd really like
good.
To talk
Can't
about
wait.
That. And I also will tell you about my latest beer recommendation, which was rather, I think, a 7.9% ABV.
Wow, that's practically a wine.
It was yummy, yummy, loving my tummy. Thanks for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. Get your tickets for our second show on Saturday night. We sure appreciate that. November 16th at the Zappos Council Chambers Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you very much for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You can't do things like that. Now, I don't know how I can explain this to you, but it's not only against the law, it's wrong. It's not a nice thing to do. People wouldn't understand.
I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
We are going to take Florida back into the too close to call column.
Gentlemen, please get your act together.